Okay. I said, okay, not cocaine. Although some of y'all thought you were having some kind of a reaction. Woo! Isn't God good? All the time. Yes, amen. Now we're going to do something. We're going to do something matter of fact, I'm pretty sure. Is this thing on? Is this too loud? Can you turn it down some? Because it sounds like I'm blowing everybody out. Instead of hearing aids, we're going to need earplugs. Check, 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 check. Money order, cash. And just, okay. Check, 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 check. Y'all do like this or that? Check, 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 check. All right. Check, 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 check. Okay. Okay. There we go. Y'all, I had a very rough experience this week, and I wanted to share it with y'all since we're going to talk about stuff. You know, I pulled into a gas station to get a drink or a cup of coffee, and when I walked up, I noticed these two cops watching a woman who was smoking while pumping gas, and there was a sign right there that says, no smoking while you're pumping gas. But she was smoking and pumping gas, and I saw her, and I thought, is this lady lost her mind? And what's wrong with those cops? Why are they just standing right there? They're not doing anything. They're not helping anything. So anyway, I went in and got the coffee. And as I was checking out, I heard someone scream. I looked outside, and the woman's arm had caught on fire. And so she was swinging her arm, and she was running all around the parking lot going crazy. And I ran outside, and the cops put her on the ground, and they were putting the fire out with their coffees. And then they put handcuffs on her and threw her in the back of the police car. And I said, what in the world's going on with this? So I said, she shouldn't have been smoking near the gas pump while getting gas, but man, you know, me being the quiet person that I am, you know, I went and asked the cop, I said, why are you arresting her? And the cop looked at me and said, didn't you see that? Can you see? Said she broke the law. I said, why do you mean her arm was on fire? He says, yes, you were arresting her for waving a firearm in public. Okay, that one had a hard landing. Eddie, did you bring Sister Dorothy her earpiece? It's supposed to be right up there. Here comes Frank. He can tell you where it's at, maybe. They're working on it. Okay, well, they're working on it right now. He's going to get it for you. All right. Don't forget now, we got spaghetti after service, all right? Spaghetti, get your Bibles out. Turn to John 20. John chapter 20. Stand for the reading of the word. You know, I find as life goes by and as I get deeper into counseling, and I get deeper into the training, and I get deeper into more stuff. I'm amazed at some of the things that people are going through these days. And you're thinking, well, this would just be somebody that was actually was unchurched would be going through some of this stuff. And you find out, no. Matter of fact, because Satan is rampant and he's running as hard as he can run and doing all he can to bring the demise of God's people, and he knows his time is short, then there is a lot of stuff going on nowadays that Christians just didn't have to fight early on. And I remember when I first became a pastor, I remember the stuff that I used to have to help people with and work through. And now the stuff now, on a scale of 1 to 10, back then I thought it was a 10. And I look at it now, and it don't even register on the scale. And the stuff that people are going through now on a scale of 1 to 10 is registering 20 and 30. It's just something. I mean, it's just an amazing thing that's going on. When I say amazing, I don't mean that as in spectacular. I mean, Satan has pulled out all stops. And then our kids are going to school every day, and they're having Jesus zapped from them, unless they're going to a Christian school. But they're having all this stuff that's going on around them, flooding them, and they're having to contend with some of this stuff. And so they're having crisis of faith. Families have quit going to church like they used to, so they're having crisis of faith. And so all this stuff together, crisis of faith with all the things that Satan's throwing at them, it really has got people living in a very rocky, rocky life. And there's a lot of people hurting. You know anybody that's been hurt? Could you raise your own hand and say, I have? Yeah. You see, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. In the beginning of the year, I talked about the value of your scars. And so now I want to go deeper than just the scar. I want to actually go to the wound itself. And here, there's the disciples. They're feeling Jesus' scars in his hands. And so I'm going to talk today about the power of our wounds. You know, this is the first part, the power of wounds. You know, you think, well, God, why'd you let this happen to me? And what I have discovered over the years, and if I can ever get this in my mind when I'm going through the heat of the battle, sometimes it's hard to remember this, is this is not happening to me. If God's allowing it, it's not happening just to me. It's happening through me, and it's happening for me so that I can help somebody else. Just remember that. God's always lifting us up to a higher level to help somebody else. So here we go. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, y'all listen, y'all say shut. I mean, tighter than a tick, shut. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. So now they're behind locked doors, and they're afraid of these Jews coming. Some of us right now, I'm looking at you, and you're looking fine. You're looking refined. But you know what? If I could actually see spiritually, some of y'all have got a locked door. Amen? Some of you got locked doors. There's people you deal with at work and people you deal with in your family that they've got locked doors. And the reason why, we're going to talk about it in a minute. But here it is. The doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews. Came Jesus and stood in the midst of them, or stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had said that, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then their disciples were glad when they saw that it was the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I have sent you. Now wait a minute. They're locked up because they're afraid. And Jesus goes through the locked doors and he says, fellas, this ain't the end. I got more for you to do. Some of y'all right now behind your locked door need to know this ain't your end. God's got more for you to do. Look at somebody and say, God's got more for you to do. And when he said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. So now let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well on the throne. You're working in our midst, Lord. And Father, this stuff that happens to us, Lord, we've got to understand that, Lord, many times we think it's just happening to us and that Satan is getting the best of us. But we got to understand, if God allowed it and we didn't bring it on ourselves and God allowed it, then it's not happening to us, it's happening for us. And because of that, God can use us in a greater way than we've ever been used before. Amen? We thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen and amen. You can be seated. On the way down, tell somebody, look, tell them that I'm glad that we serve a risen Savior. Now, I want to talk to you just for a few minutes on, just a few, because I promise you I don't have but like, I don't know, five slides. There's not many slides. I just wanted to get this foundation. This is the foundation. Next week will be more meat. Today's going to be the foundation, the frying pan, and turning the heat up at the right temperature before we start cooking. So this is all the preparation. We'll get a little bit of it, but next week's going to be the most powerful part. The power of our wounds. Now, this was a time of crisis. These guys here, as you see, y'all remember that? Okay, that's from the Passion. But you remember Jesus was going through all that. They weren't expecting Jesus to have any of this. They were expecting Jesus to sit up an earthly throne. And even James and John's mother come and said, can James sit on one side and John sit on the other? They're all thinking that everything's going to be something special here on earth. And God's going to let Jesus just zap all the Romans out of the way. And there's going to be this earthly millennial kingdom set up during Jesus' life. And Jesus kept trying to tell them, no, you got to be a servant. Servant leadership. You got to be a servant. But here, so they're in this time of crisis. They've watched this, and now it's soon after the cross. And so the crisis actually was still fresh in their minds. When people go through crisis, one of the things that causes pain in a crisis is we can't get it out of our mind. Anybody ever had a song stuck in your head? Have you ever been sitting there and somebody starts singing this just a crazy song, and you go, thank you a lot. Now I can't get the thing out of my head. Amen? Well, see, that's it. Look, they got in their head over and over again. All they can think about is Jesus is gone. I mean, this is fresh. This is horrifying what they saw. They saw Jesus whipped and beat beyond recognition. They saw all this stuff. They saw the cross. And they know that because they went after Jesus, they're more than likely going to come after his disciples. And so they're afraid of what's going on. And so all this is going on around them, and this is not what they had planned. This is not what they expected. Just a couple days before, they thought they were going to be sitting on thrones. They thought that Jesus was going to be reigning, and now Jesus, he's dead and in the ground. They're thinking everything's going to be hunky-dory, and it's not. Some of y'all in here thinking, listen, by this time, when I was 20 and I started serving God, I had bad stuff going on, but I figured by the time I was 30, things would be smoothed out. Ha, 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 ha. Oh, by the time my children get grown, things will be smoothed out. Ha, 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 ha. I found out that things never smooth out. There's always something. Every time I get one situation under control or think it's under control, which control itself is an illusion. Did you know that? It's an illusion. We never have full control. It's kind of like this. I say, do you own your house? Yep. Nobody can take it. It's paid for, lock, stock, and barrel. Watch this. Try not paying your taxes. You think you own it. Don't pay your taxes. See how long you own it. The same way, control is just an illusion because we really have very little control in our lives. But what little bit we do have, God expects us to use wisely. And so here these guys are. This terror is real. Their hopes are shattered. And all they got is all these questions. Wait a minute. This is not what we bargained for, God. This is not what we signed up for. This is not what we expected. How many has ever felt that way? This ain't what I signed up for, God. I mean, I wasn't expecting this. So in this crisis, they're hiding behind locked doors. There's people I see at Pitt Detention Center that physically have that. But more than physically have that, I see people at Pitt Detention that's got that on their heart. You know, I see that on their heart. I see people every day, wherever I meet them, I can tell usually within a couple of minutes of talking to a person, I feel and hear the chains rattling, and I feel the stop. I'm locked. Leave me alone. You feel that. Sometimes it's very obvious. You see it, you feel it, you can't mistake it, it's there. And sometimes it's subtle, and you have to actually be led by the Spirit to understand that. But here's what these guys are. They're hiding behind locked doors, and their motivating factor is fear. Now, we've been doing a series or did a series on phobia. And with this phobia, phobias are unrealistic fear. They're really based on a trigger. They're based on a trigger, or not a trigger, but they're based on an actual building of something that makes them afraid. And then when the trigger happens, then they go back to this phobia. Phobias are unrealistic fear because it'll take an acorn and make you see an oak tree. And these guys, they saw Jesus die. They saw all the things that happened. And because they saw all the things that happened, now every time they hear a footstep, that acorn is an oak tree. Every time they see a guard, they're thinking they're coming to get them. Matter of fact, when you have a phobia, paranoia will set in. So this phobia has been activated. Now they have an unrealistic fear because they've seen what has happened and they're expecting it to happen to them. It's now paranoia set in. And so fear is the motivating factor. Fear is actually a reaction. Fear is a secondary emotion. It's an action. And so a reaction to something that's happening. So let's just watch this. What was going on in their lives? If this hits you anywhere, thank God that you're here today. Amen? Number one, what were they afraid of? What was causing their fear? What was causing them to have this reaction? Number one, they were confused. They misunderstood his words. Have you ever been standing on God's word and think that it doesn't come true for you? And, you know, there's times where I preach the word and preach the word and believe God for a miracle. It's like with DC and Daniel. That time they were fighting with the knife, and there was a plastic knife, but they were fighting with it at the fishing hole just around from the hospital. And D.C. was out stronger than Daniel. And Daniel tried to take the knife. And D.C. with it pointed toward his eye. D.C. grabs it and says, give it to me. He's only like 5, 6 years old, he grabs it and pulls it from Daniel and stabs himself right in the eye. He screams. I go there, and the boy's got a cut in his eye. I see it. The cut is at least almost a half an inch. I see the cut, and I pick him up, and Beverly sees it, and she goes, "What are we going to do?" I said, "We're taking him to the hospital now." So we get him to go to the hospital, and when we pick him up and put him in the car, she says, "Go, go, 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 go." Right around the corner, Havens Gardens, Beaufort County Hospital. As I pulled out of Havens Gardens, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Have you talked to me about this yet?" And I said, "No, sir." He said, "Don't you think you should?" So I pulled over the car. Beverly said, "What are you doing? What are you doing? His eye is bleeding. Get out of here." She was holding him and his hand, had blood in her hand. I said, "The Lord just checked me." So he pulled over and I said, "Hand him here." And we prayed for him. We got to the hospital. They rushed him on back in the back and said, "Mr. Linton, we don't see any cut. It's gone. There's blood in his eye. There's dried blood everywhere. He's bled, but we don't know where from because there's not a cut in his eye." I said, "I just saw it. That's where the blood came from." And his doctor said, "Well, he may have, but I'm telling you, all we got is dried blood. There is no cut." I said, "Well, praise God." And so that night, Beverly had a cyst rupture on an ovary. We didn't know what it was. We just know how bad a pain she was in. And so I was expecting God to do the same thing then that he had done with DC earlier, just a few hours earlier. But guess what? The next morning, Beverly was in major surgery. Matter of fact, it was so major, the doctor said, I said, "We got to wait for the insurance company to open so we can ask them, can we do it?" He said, "We can't wait." I said, "Wait a minute. God, now you healed DC. You took the cut away. And now here's Beverly, and she's had your surgery. This doesn't make sense." But that was lessons I was learning in faith. Matter of fact, the doctor even told us that if we hadn't got it and did it, it might have been a lot worse than we could ever imagine. So again, confusion, misunderstood his words. The signs that you stood on God's word, stood on it, and refused to back off of it, and still the devil came and just wreaked havoc in your home. Look, then they were just depressed because of mixed expectations. They were expecting Jesus to reign. They were expecting Jesus to rule. They were expecting Jesus just to blow down the Romans. And instead, the Romans have got him and his hands are behind his back and they put him on a cross and he dies. There's times we've had unmet expectations. We were thinking God's going to do something for us. God says, I'll never leave you or forsake you. You can boldly say that the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. And then here it goes. Wait a minute, God. This was not in the manual. And God says, maybe you didn't quite read the fine print. Take my whole word, put it together and see that many are the trials of the righteous. Many are the affliction. But I will deliver them. And you can boldly say, I will be here for you. I will not turn my back on you. But I never said you wouldn't ever go through anything. That's why my son went through the most awesome, terrible thing you can think of to show you that you can go through it and still be on top. You can still win. So they were depressed. And not only were they depressed, they were desperate. They're locked behind doors and they need answers. Again, when I find people that the doors are locked, it's because nobody has the key. The door's there, and if the person comes with the right key, they'll open it up. But the door has to have the right key. And sometimes we go to them and say, "Oh, suck it up, buttercup." "Oh, really? Okay." Or, "I'll tell you what happened when I went through it, and I made it, and just suck it up." "Oh, really? Thank you. You're so encouraging." I had a person in my church years, years, years ago. She would always say this. No matter what happened, you could lose an arm. And she'd go, "You don't know nothing. I lost two arms." "Really? I never seen that." Every time somebody went through something, she'd always say, "You don't know nothing." I'm thinking, boy, you really encourage me when I'm really going through something. So see, they're desperate. They need answers. Things are getting rough. So here's what I'm going to tell you now. Here they are, they're behind these locked doors. In order, when you're behind these locked doors, when you got your heart locked down, You got your mind locked down. You got your mind locked in to saying that it's not going to get any better. This is the best it's going to be. It's not going to get any better. God, you more or less have just forgot me. You've got me. You just forget I'm even alive. For some reason, I've been so bad all my life that now I'm reaping what I sowed and it's going to be bad. And I might as well just go ahead, dig a hole, crawl in it because it's not going to get better. And I'm here to tell you, that's a lie from hell. Don't you know when God called you, He took into account the stuff you're going through now when He called you back then? You think God's going, oops, that wasn't in the plan. Get rid of them. No, when God called you, He knew how you were going to slip, how you were going to fall, how you were going to scrape your knee, how you were going to mess up. He knew all that. He still called you in the beginning before you were ever born. I'm going to use this man, even though he's going to consider himself a mess up, I'm going to show him that I specialize in using mess ups. So faith has to be active in order to be effective. And if it's not active, you're going to put that lock on your mind, that lock on your heart, that lock on relationships. So see, they moved from faith attacking the situation. That's what they had going on until they saw Jesus being taken away, and Jesus said, put your sword away. Up until that point, Peter drew his sword. He's ready to fight. They're going to fight to the death. They were there. They were going to do it. I often wondered about that thing. He told them, you better be ready. And so here they are. They're ready. And then Peter pulls out the sword and gets ready to do what he's going to do. And Jesus says, put it away. Wait a minute, God. You just told me to be ready, and now I'm ready, and you tell me I'm going into action, and you're telling me to stop. So from this point on, these guys run like a bunch of scared rabbits because they don't know what to do. Everything they expected. You see, they moved from faith attacking the situation to the situation attacking their faith. I find this in my life constantly, just for a moment. I'll be sitting along and I'll get a phone call, or I'll be sitting along and something will happen and I'll start thinking about it. And then right to start with, the situation attacks faith. And I say, wait a minute. Why am I letting it attack my faith? God's got this. And then it turns around and let my faith attack the situation. And see, Jesus understood this. That's why he put this in the book. So we'd have it to look at. So we'd have it to see. And so what he wants to do is, he's literally wanting us to learn a lesson. These guys learn it first, but we're learning from them. Amen? So now watch this. Here's some lessons that he taught when he walked through that door. Watch this. Our wounds are very powerful. I know it hurts when we're going through it, but it's very powerful. I remember some things I've gone through over the years, and you can think of things that you've gone through. And if you had your choice, you wouldn't have gone through it. But how many times since you've gone through it, you can tell somebody, hey, bro, I'm here with you. You can depend on me. I'm not going to let go. And they go, but you can't be standing with me because look at what I've done. You go, I did it too. Wow. That's awesome. That's awesome. You know why? Because sometimes we allow the devil to browbeat us and beat us down and think that we're the only ones that's ever done anything like this or gone through this. And then when the person beside you says, look, I've been through it. I'm here to tell you, there is a bright side. There's a bright side of this. You see, we can let our wounds consume us. And if they consume us, we'll be of no help to anybody. I know people right now, well-meaning, good people, godly people that walk around with a Band-Aid. And every time you start talking about why aren't we doing this and why aren't we doing that, and have you thought about doing this, they pull back the Band-Aid and show the hurt. This is why. And they let it fester. They won't let it take the Band-Aid off, let it heal. They want to keep the Band-Aid up there and keep it there so whenever they have a problem, they can always pull back and say, this is why. Look what that person done to me. Look what they done to me. Look at whoever done to me. That's why I act the way I act. That's why I get the way I do. That's why I do this. And they want to keep pulling it back and let it fester up again. And they want to keep that wound active. And they don't realize that that wound has consumed them and ruined them to the point that they are no help to anyone. Well, see, if we can overcome, if we can trust God in our misery, if we trust God in our wounds, then we have the power of God in our lives active. And when the power of God is active in your life, you can help so many people. You know, I was in there the other day, and of course, Bethany's gone over to help. But Bethany says she don't mind if I tell stuff like this. But I was in PCDC one day, and the guy was over in the Jubies, and the guy was telling me how he got caught for drugs, and another guy was telling about how he done this, and they looked at me and said, but you wouldn't know anything about that. You're the perfect preacher. You know nothing about heroin. And I said, well, if you had a TV in here, you'd have seen a picture of my daughter's picture on the page on TV. I said, excuse me? I said, she got to hang around with the wrong people, just like you. He said, really? And all of a sudden, the guys that weren't giving me a time of day pulled up to the door and said, talk to us. Please talk to us. You see, when you're going through something, when you have your own wounds, your own injuries, they will speak loudly for you. They will open the lock. And some people are locked in because they think nobody can talk to them about it because nobody's been there. So watch this. Let's move on. We're almost through. And then next week we'll hit it. First, I want you to know your wounds are powerful. Jesus was very powerful. But I also want you to know that it propels our message. You see, let's watch this. I'm just going to set it. This is the setup. This is turning the frying pan up, putting the grease in it. All right, ready? These guys had no peace. Why did they have no peace? First, they had a limited reach. You know, it said they were assembled together. Just them. My four, no more. A lot of times when we find ourselves hurt, we'll just gather to our own and we'll do our little holy huddle. And God is trying to get to us, but He doesn't know how. He does the how. Excuse me. He knows how to get to us, but we won't allow Him to change that. But we won't allow Him to get to us. See, their direction was unsure. And so what happens to us, how many has ever asked God to help you quit doing something like gossiping? I'll make it simple. Gossiping. Or you ask God to help you quit speeding or whatever it is. And then as soon as you get in trouble or as soon as things get rough to you, the first thing you do is go right back to gossiping or right back to speeding or right back to smoking or whatever it is. It's because it's called fleeing to the familiar. We always flee back to what God delivered us from. We flee right back to it. Because listen, we have a limited reach. Humans are designed. We pull together. We go back and flee to the familiar. Secondly, there was limited relationships. Said the disciples, just the disciples. There was nobody else in that upper room, just them. Their dependence was unsure. They were isolated. They limited who they talked to. When somebody's behind a locked door, here's what I find out. They have very few people with them, and they talk to very few people because they're afraid if they say the wrong thing to the wrong person, it's going to be their death. And then finally, there was limited resources. The door was shut. Let's start right here for a minute. Or stop for a minute. Start and stop. The reason people shut the door is to remove the opportunity for it to happen again. You got hurt. I've seen guys that got married or women that got married. They got hurt in their marriage. They never get married again. Not because they didn't see somebody they wanted to marry. Not because they didn't want to get married again. But they were scared if they got married again, they would be hurt again. I've seen people that have problems with whatever, a certain place on the job in a certain department. They never tried to go back to that department again because they got hurt. I'm not going to go there again. I'm not going to take a chance of getting hurt. Or just relationships that you have. I got hurt, and I'm not going to let that person hurt me again. I'm not going to take a chance of getting hurt again, but they don't realize when they shut the door and put the chain on it, they shut out some good things that's coming their way. Yes, it hurts. Man, it hurts. But God's got some good things on the other side of that hurt. Don't you think God knew you were going to be hurt? God told the disciples, Jesus kept telling the disciples over and over again, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. And all they can think is, can I be by your throne? Can I be here when you set it up? Blah, 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 blah. And Jesus says, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. On the third day, I'm going to rise again. But all they could see was through their flesh. And so here he is. They've shut the door to remove all opportunity of it happening again. Watch this. I just got through telling you. The power. This is the good stuff. Our wounds propel our message beyond the locked doors. If I know somebody's having a problem in a certain area, and I know somebody that's a minister that's been there, I'll ask them, I'll go talk to them privately and go, I know you've gone through such and such. Can you do me a favor? Can you go talk to this person? And they go, why? I said, because you've been there. If I was going to talk to Doug about the Marine Corps, the only thing I know about the Marine Corps is what I learned on Gomer Pyle. I can't talk to Doug about the Marines. I really can't. I don't know anything about it. It was just what I've seen. You know, if I was going to talk to Brandon about helicopters and looking at that stuff, I don't know anything about helicopters except for the little models I built. So I'd find somebody that's done something like that, and I'd say, can you go talk to them? I had somebody in my own family had been overseas and been in a war zone. And they said, I'm really having a problem. And I said, well, I deal with PTSD. And they said, but have you ever been in a war zone? And I said, no, I haven't. And they said, well, that's okay. That's okay. And so I went and found somebody. Matter of fact, I found a counselor that was a former major, artillery major in the Army. And I called back this person and said, do you think this guy can handle it? And he said, yes, thank you. And he talked to me. This was years ago. And then I happened to be with this guy in my family when this other guy happened to call me. And I said, I can't talk to you right now. I'm here with this guy. And he said, well, tell this guy I said hello. And so I told that guy that this guy said hello. And he said, and then the other guy said, tell him that I used what he shared with me every day to my life. Wow. The power. I had locked doors. I couldn't get past the locked doors. But the infantryman could get past the locked doors. His message propelled him. Some of y'all in here right now, you're thinking, well, I've been through some terrible things in my life and God can't use me. But let me tell you something. Some of y'all are the right ones to go through some locked doors today. There's doors I can't get through. People don't want to hear it. But you might be the one because you've been there and you've got the message. You can get through the locked doors. You've got the plan. Listen, the plan, their plan was to let nobody in, but you've got the power. They can't stop it. Jesus, walk right through the door. Isn't that awesome? Just walk right through. All right, you can lock it. Lock it all you want, but I'm coming through. You know, I can sit back so many times and I wonder, God, why have you let my life be so colorful? And why have you let me go through so much? You know, and then I sit back and look, you know what? That stuff I've gone through has been keys that have opened the locked doors. Some of y'all in here right now, you don't realize you got a set of keys on your side. Everything you went through is a key. Every wound you ever had is a key. And God's going to use that key to go into some locked doors that nobody else can get into. Wow. It's a powerful thing. When I carry guys back with me at Pitt Detention Center, it always amazes me. I don't know why it amazes me so much because I know how powerful God is. But we go in there, and all of a sudden I hear them. Some of the prisoners start talking, and the guy that I carried back with me that night, he's been through some of that or knows what they're talking about. And sure enough, there he is, right there, perfect at the right time. To take care of business. Here's what I want you to do. Here's your assignment for the week. Do we get back next week? I want you to think about the things you've gone through in life. And it can be painful, but I still want you to think about it. And instead of locking your doors, I want you to see these as keys that God's going to use and has already used to unlock other doors to people when they're shut down. I remember one of the most awesome times I went. I was still going into general population. I went into general population. I think I told you about this, but I'm going to tell you about it a different way. I'm going to tell you my perspective. I walked in and there was a guy sitting at the table. He didn't look like he belonged there. For some reason, he just did not look like he belonged there. And all these guys were lined up around him, all over him. And I walked in, and I was thinking, well, I need to get all these guys' attention so I can do what I'm going to do. And I walked over to hear what he was saying, and the guy was ministering to everybody. And that night, I found several keys. Because I talked to this guy, and I said, what's happening, man? What you doing? You sound like you know what you're talking about. And he looked at me, and he said, look, yes. I said, what's wrong? He said, I'm a preacher. I'm a pastor, and he had his head down. And I said, lift your head up. Lift his head up, and I said, what's going on? He said, I had some traffic violations, and I thought I could get away with it. And he said, they got me. And I'm here waiting. There's a detention center. They hadn't locked him up. He was waiting for his trial. And he said, man, I'm so sorry I'm here. And man, he said, don't think bad of me. And I said, dude, I ain't thinking bad of you. I said, matter of fact, I'm amazed at the power of God. And he says, why is that? I said, because God's using you. There was a lot of guys there that had locked doors. And I'd seen those doors locked many, many times. I couldn't even penetrate those doors. But that guy was living with them, in there with them 24/7. He was showing them something. He had the key that unlocked so many doors. And those people were flocking around him. And I told him, I said, you know what? I said, you've impressed me. Matter of fact, I thank God for you. And he said, you thank God for me? I'm in jail. I said, yeah, thank God for you. Look at what you're doing. Look at how God's using you. Look at all this, man. I said, you also learn better than you start paying your traffic tickets too, won't you? He said, yeah, I'll pay them too, man. I said, but look at this. I said, look how this guy's flocking around you, man. I said, you know, this is amazing. I've never seen anything like it in here. God's using you in your wound. Your wounded state, God is using you to such a powerful degree. And so, me being a minister, and I said, I've had my problems. I've had my traffic tickets too, but I've had my problems. And we all do, but I found out in my problems, usually when I'm going through a problem, God will take it and turn it around and use it to propel the message. And he goes, yeah. And when I left, he was happy. He was smiling. And he said, man, I'm so glad God sent you. And I said, I'm so glad God sent you. I had the key to his heart. And he had the key to this other guy's hearts. Wow. Isn't that awesome? I never knew what happened to him because he was gone by the time I got back. This week, I want you to just think about it. Every problem you've been through, instead of thinking about it as an attack from Satan and trying to destroy you, I want you to think about it in a whole different way. I want you to think about it as a key that God's using to open doors for you to minister to somebody else. All right? Keys for you to minister to somebody else that nobody else could minister to because they don't have the key that fits in their lock. Amen? Amen? All right. Here we go. Get ready to go. All the walls we build, all the doors we lock, can't lock out the pain. Think about that. All the walls we build and all the doors we lock can't lock out the pain. All it's going to lock out is solutions. It's not going to lock out the pain. But no matter what you build, it cannot keep Jesus out. But it's up to you. Am I going to let him fix it? Or am I going to stay in this state? God is awesome. God is awesome. God is awesome. Jesus came to them in their pain. We'll talk about that next week. This was just the foundation. All this was the foundation for next week. So please come next week. And if you know somebody that's really dealing with a lot of pain and they're thinking that Satan is just tearing them all to pieces and God will never be able to use them again, bring them. because I'm going to show them, hopefully through the power of the Holy Ghost, not through David Linton, but through the power of the Holy Ghost and His Word, that God takes our mess and makes an awesome message. Amen? Let's all stand. BJ, will you come play something, please? Here's what I'm going to do for an altar call today. I'm just going to say, look, the altar's open. Satan is trying to tell you many times when you've been hit and hurt and abused and used, and when you've done it to somebody else, whatever it may be, that God's through with you, that He can't use you. And I'm here to tell you something. If you've been abused and hurt and you've got pain, you're the one God wants to use, because that's when you're more like your Savior, is when you are pouring out to somebody that has hurt you. Or you're pouring out in the middle of your pain. That's when you're more like Jesus. All that will y'all just come pray. Just come pray. Ask God to help you. And also help you when you start looking back and finding the keys that you got in your pocket on your key ring that you didn't even know you had. You were counting them as hurt. You were counting them as something terrible. And I'm telling you, take a different look. Go back and look at it in a different way. It's not just, listen, this pain was not, you just go through it for nothing. All right? God is using it. God is taking that pain you went through, and He's building keys. And those keys are going to fit in locks at places you never thought they would fit, because some people will not listen to anybody but you, because you've got the key to their lock. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God, that you love me enough, that you love me enough to be a key builder in my life. And all that pain, all that hurt, all that misery is a key that you use, God, to get in somebody else's locked door. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. I thank you. 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 You're an awesome God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I want everybody that will, put your hands up. I want you to repeat after me. Lord, I have pain in my life, and I have areas that I don't like to visit in my heart because of the pain. But Lord, I thank you that you can take this pain and turn it into keys to help me get through locked doors in other people's hearts. I ask you right now, Lord, to help me, propel me to do a soul search so that I can allow you to turn my pain into keys. And I thank you for it right now. In the name of Jesus, I accept your challenge. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. 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 Thank you, Lord.